football fans, and welcome to the CBFA podcast with your hosts, James Parks and Cole Fortner. All right. Well, welcome to the podcast. We're back for a week six recap. And joining us once again, Kevin Kratz has been our guest host all year, and he's been doing a great job. Thanks for joining us, Kevin. And of course, Cole, you're here too, as usual.
As usual.
Wouldn't be a podcast without you. I tried that once. It went over like a lead balloon, as they say.
It was a little different, was it?
Yeah,
it is hard to ramble to oneself. I will admit
not recommend
that.
It.
No.
Yeah, but that was the one good thing came of it. That's when I learned that notes are a good thing.
Yes.
So, Kevin, you were at Encana this week, and
you had
quite the action going on over there. Why don't we start with you this week?
First game, Bulldogs Lions. Other than missing parts of the game because of the sound issues, not everything was there, so running around. But in terms of the game itself, there's not much to talk about. Bulldogs kind of kicked butt, but there was an ejection that I guess I missed, an objectionable conduct twice on the same play. So
really,
I think a player apparently was mouthing off a bunch, and then gave him a warning with the objectionable conduct. Then he turned around and did it again, second objectionable conduct, and he was booted. So I believe he's going to have a talking to before the next game. I won't say who it was because, it's better left,
unsaid. Yeah, I'm not mistaken. I think they're suspended for the next game.
I was hearing that it was probably going to be a suspension. So, at the very least, they were probably going to talk to him before the next game. But yeah, there was a big talk of suspension.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when you get kicked out of the game, you need to go in front of all the top brass of the league and explain your actions, and then they decide how many games it's worth, and if the player is adequately apologetic, then perhaps it won't be such a big thing. But if they're still going to remain belligerent, well, then they might not get back in before the playoffs or longer.
When James says top brass, it's not me and James.
No, I said top brass.
Yeah, so when you say top brass, it's not
me. Because I was in the trailer with Logie and Dan. So they were talking about that. So, yeah, but yeah. Other than that, the game was just, it was all Bulldogs. So. But the second game was certainly a lot more eventful. These are really two really good teams, Raiders, Wildcats. And so I figured it was going to be a pretty good game. Raiders seemed to have control over it to start. But then we had an injury to one of the Raiders' top players. And we had to have the ambulance called. And so he was taken in the ambulance. And then Wildcats came on back and tied the game. And that was all she wrote, because we finished with our first tie of the season, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah, no overtime in the regular season.
Yeah. I mean, literally, like during the game, I actually was wondering, like, well, is there an overtime? And so because I was in the timer and scorer's booth, very cramped in there. And it was like, what is the, is there an overtime? And so over the radio, it's like, hey, is there an overtime? And it's like, nope. So yeah, tie game. And so that was cool. There was one Raiders play where it was a punt, and the Raiders player went 110 yards into the end zone, but it was taken back.
Oh.
So that was like very, I mean, I'd imagine disappointing with all that effort just to have to go all the way back.
I just want to clarify, like, 110 yard punt return. The kick itself didn't go 110 yards.
That would be insane. That'd be ridiculous. Yeah, no, a punt return that went 110 yards. And that was like, wow, like, holy crap.
Yeah,
also had a bit of a, yeah. We also had a bit of animal interference. We had a bunny run onto the field. He ran down.
Animal interference, but sure.
Well, yeah, it was between plays, but the bunny ran down into the end zone, and everyone was amused by that. I mean, even I was amused. I cranked the mic up and just, you know, announced, "Hey, look at him go!" that was just a bit of, that was kind of a highlight to the day of just, you know, a fun little moment. Players cheered and the fans cheered, so that was cool.
And he came within a hair of scoring.
No, he went.
Oh, he actually got in.
Oh,
he went in, you know.
Well, I'll have to come up with a different pun.
The pun is nice. The pun was funny. I like the pun.
But the bunny did score.
Yeah.
And nice. Then the bunny proceeded to chill in the end zone for the next like 10 minutes,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. 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 He was just kind of probably tucking himself out, just running.
I mean, to be fair to the bunny, the play was going the opposite direction. So chilling in that end zone probably wasn't a bad idea.
Yeah. No, but it was a really fun game to be, you know, there.
Even on the sidelines for that game, it was, again, I'm not going to say it was up there with my game of the year.
I actually agree with that because
it did seem a bit slower in pace compared to the one a couple weeks ago, but it was the fact that we still got a tie, and I don't know the last time we had a tie was, I don't know if we had one last year or not. I don't remember. It was nice to see it, especially with two heavyweight teams like the Raiders and the Wildcats this season.
I mean, I was wondering, like, are the Wild, because when the Wildcats are down, it's like, are they going to no longer be undefeated? Well, no, they remain undefeated, but not, you know,
on that's a winning right.
streak ended.
They remain undefeated, but the Cowboys remain perfect. And that's the difference.
Yeah. But I agree. It's not game of the year material. I totally agree.
Well, we had a couple of good games over at Heller Field in the afternoon.
I wouldn't say it.
We had a game in a bit that was pretty good.
I also wouldn't have really called it that good of games either, to be honest. It started off really well. The Stamps Hilltoppers game.
Yeah.
We had another.
I thought the Hilltoppers really, they put forth a really good effort in the first half and didn't start to really give up until the score was getting out of hand.
Yeah, and that didn't really happen until like later in the second quarter. Of course, you know, you had that opening kickoff return for touchdown for the second straight week at Hillard Field.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it was a nice way to set the tone for the Stampeders, and I kind of didn't really look back. I mean, yes, the Hilltoppers did answer with a couple, like a passing touchdown, which they drove the field for. But then again, it was Stampeders marched the field back and scored and kind of just didn't let up all the gas. Well, more or less, so to speak, at that point in time, they, you know, it was a casual scoring grind. Yeah. I wouldn't say it was like every single drive, but.
Right. And so for the Stamps, their rider, Jaeger Carey, ran that opening kickoff back for a touchdown and also added two more TDs. And Finley Olsen also scored a pair of touchdowns for the Stamps. Replying for the Hilltoppers was Liam Hyam. Scored the touchdown for the Hilltops and a 48-6 final score victory for the Stampeders.
And then we had the unfortunate incident in our second game at Hilliard Field. Well, I guess the fourth game at Hilliard Field.
Right.
It wasn't a bad game to start with in the first quarter. Like, Colts were up 2. And then there was kind of just a weird play in the last play of the fourth quarter where the ball carrier, I don't even remember who it was at this point in time, carrying the ball. And I look down to go and find the name on the roster sheet to announce it. And then I look back up and I can see that this kid's leg is broken.
Yeah. Like,
it was not a pretty sight. The fact that you could see it from the top of the booth was not.
Yeah. I heard that it was, from what I heard, it was pretty gruesome.
Things we don't like to see. And again, it was just a weird.
No. And it was
weird play.
It seemed like an innocuous play. You know, there was a crowd of people around the ball and there were a few tacklers. And I think the way he was tackled, it might have been there was somebody on the ground that he was kind of tackled over top of. And his leg just got trapped, unfortunately, just the way it was. It wasn't like a malicious play or anything like that. It was just a freak accident. But it was, you know, gruesome enough that the players, they decided themselves, they were done for the day. That was it. In the morning games, the Cowboys kept perfect. As we mentioned earlier, they defeated the Chiefs 43-0. Again, Zandro Daniel with a pair of touchdowns there. And in the other morning game, the Eagles defeat the Mavericks 30-8, which was also really surprising to me.
Yeah, I thought the Mavericks, like, they're a good team. I thought they would have had like more of a fight, but I mean, obviously, you know, I would like to know, like, because obviously the score sheet only tells us so much, but I mean,
it does.
The Eagles with a, that is a huge win for the Eagles.
It really is. We've talked about the Eagles defense having shown, even though the team's lost, the defense has come up big a couple of times. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they managed a few turnovers and won that turnover battle. So that's, Daniel Bowers scored 3 touchdowns for the Eagles. And a couple of them were from, 5 yards and in. The other one wasn't much further, maybe 10 or 15 yards out. So, Eagles, full measure for victory over a pretty good Mavericks team. So there you go.
I'm going to interject and backtrack a tiny bit. I'm sure all the coaches listen to our podcast. I would certainly hope they do. But apparently it was noted that one of the coaches in the first game listens to the podcast and took offense to comments we made last week. And apparently they were holding up on a lot of drives.
Were they?
Allegedly, according to our VP.
Okay.
Including kicking a 30-yard field goal.
Against the Chiefs?
Yes.
Yeah. No, actually, I can see that.
Yeah.
Earlier in the season, this would have been a 60-plus difference. So I can see that they have listened. And
they have taken – they haven't listened. They actually phoned and complained. They phoned Logie apparently after the podcast and complained, apparently. They didn't like comments we made last week about the fact that they seemingly score a lot more than everybody else does every single week.
Well, you know, every week we have a bit of a blowout, and this week was no different. Look, we had the Stampeders put up 48, the Bulldogs put up 52.
The Cowboys are the usual suspects.
That's right. It was the Cowboys and the Raiders, and they've done it a couple of times each, and then other teams have done it maybe once, maybe twice. So, I mean, nobody is immune to this. All the better teams end up putting up some points. It happens.
We just want closer games, that's all. They're more exciting for us as announcers and as fans and as the league and as players.
We want closer games. Of course we do. But we also want to see that everybody gets into the game and everybody gets reps, actual field time, game time on the field. It's important that everybody right down to the bottom of the roster gets on the field. And that's what we want to see the most.
But now we have, I like head to week 7.
I'm not sure about game A. That might be a bit of,
The Wildcats are playing the Rebels, and we know the Wildcats are unbeaten. But unbeaten. Yeah. 5-0-1, and the Rebels are coming off of that one quarter forfeit after a horrific injury. So at 0-6, we can hope that they're able to come back and compete and, you know, maybe do what they can to keep it close and interesting for as long as they can.
Again, Grant's not here this week.
No Grant this week.
Oh, it feels just stuck listening to my voice all day.
Second game of the day will be the Hilltoppers at 1-5 taking on the 3-3 Bulldogs.
Hoping Hilltoppers have some of their injured roster back.
Well, they were able to play a full game this past week against the Stamps.
Yeah, so, I don't know how many injuries they still had though, or not.
No, but yeah.
Oh, wait, we always want injured rosters back though.
Yeah, hopefully they get a few more back, and they're able to take the Bulldogs through, make them earn a victory at the very least.
Third game at Hillard is Colts 5-1 against the Mavericks 3-3. Based off of the performances last week, I'm assuming it's not going to be a pretty result in favor of the Colts.
I don't know. Can the Mavericks come back? You know, I would say it favors the Colts, but since I have been wrong on every turn all year, you know, maybe that means you should put your money on the Mavericks. I'm still picking the Colts.
I would, I at this rate in point in time, for most of the teams, I can't bet against the Colts, at least in the regular season right now. I'm starting to think the bottom majority of the Ken 2 division is a little on the weaker side. But we'll see that more as we play the interdivisional games.
Yes, we will see. In the first game in Encana, Chiefs 0-6 are taking on the Lions 2-4.
Lions don't have a great record, but the last time they played a not okay team, being the Rebels, they did put up 58. And they did not let off the gas. They may, considering the fact that they gave up 52 last week against the Bulldogs, they might just do that again.
Now, if I remember correctly, the last tie we had before this past weekend's game, last time we had a tie was like 2 years ago between the Chiefs and the Lions. So, will history repeat? Find out this Saturday in Encana Field.
Epic trailer voice. And then we have our, I guess, heavy-ish weight battle of the week.
Yes, this has all the markings of being the game of the week. The Cowboys 6-0 put their perfect record on the line against the 4-2 Stampeders.
And again, I don't know how this one's going to go, considering the fact that the Stampeders did get blown out by the Colts, and it wasn't that close against the Wildcats either. in their two losses this season.
Yeah.
I have a feeling they might give the Cowboys a little bit more run from their money than the Cowboys have seen the last few weeks. But
maybe.
I don't know if it's going to be
enough.
Enough. Who knows? Cowboys might actually give up more than one score for the first time this season.
All season, right? Yeah, it should be a dandy.
Yeah, because they've only given up 16 points in 6 weeks, and that was 8 points against the Mavericks and 8 against the Raiders. That's kind of insane.
Yeah, that's like scary.
Wicked defense.
Yeah. Good coaching, hey?
To be fair, that is a nice game for our last game of the day at Hellard, though, so.
Yeah, and the last game over at Encana, the 2-4 Eagles are taking on the 4-1-1 Raiders. Raiders!
Again, despite the Eagles' record, that might actually not be a bad game. I think part of the reason, I'm not going to say the entire reason, I think part of the reason is the Raiders or the Eagles' record is not as good as it is or probably should be. They were the unfortunate ones of a few of those early season ambulance calls.
Yeah, that was one of the second game I did, week one, leg injury to one of the players. So,
well, and the following week, it wasn't necessarily their player. I think it was a Wildcats player. It was a Wildcats player, but again, they were still in the game with them. So it kind of throws you off a little bit, possibly.
Yeah. Possibly.
I think the Eagles continue to surprise and impress with some of their games. So,
yeah, Eagles could be one to watch for the Raiders. You never know.
That could be another really good game. So
I wouldn't count the Eagles out.
No.
Never.
No, I still think the Raiders are going to win that one, but I think the Eagles are going to
keep it close. I would say so too, but at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if the upset does happen. The more important things than any of our other games. Gordy's 5th Annual Food Drive for the Veterans Food Bank of Calgary is happening this weekend down at Shoals Athletic Park. There will be alumni to some capacity. I don't know the full extent of the alumni being there. Helping out with the food donations as well as hanging out with teams. So players might want to pick the brains of the former players. They get some tips and tricks they've learned over the years. Should be a fun day all around.
Yeah, it's going to be a great day.
And we are also into our fourth set of 50-50 tickets. Starting, there will not be a collection process happening on the 7th.
No.
The CBFA Select says they do not want to step on the toes of what's going on with the food drive. That being said, the 50-50 is still happening. There will still be the QR codes around the grounds and online. You can find those all on our socials, but there will not be someone walking around asking if you want to buy a 50-50 ticket this week.
Right. That will resume on the final weekend, October 14th.
Unless you're the Colts or the Raiders.
Unless you're the Colts and the Raiders, in which case you are in Airdrie for the Homecoming Festival.
A massive festival weekend that is happening in Airdrie, involving a few Calgary teams, a few Airdrie teams, Bantam, Pee-wee, Adam, and the Airdrie High Schools. They got food trucks and concerts going on there that weekend. Apparently, it is partly celebrating the fact that they're getting a turf field finally at the Ed Egger field.
Oh, fantastic.
And part of that will include floodlights.
Wow.
Yes, because that field, for some reason, does not have floodlights, despite Genesis Center being pretty friggin' new. I don't know how they failed to incorporate the fact that floodlights would be a good idea, especially when football happens in the fall when it gets dark earlier. That Airdrie weekend should be a fun one for the Raiders and the Colts, families and players and stuff. I'm imagining parking is going to be a little hectic. with seven games going on between two fields up there, as well as food trucks and concerts.
That's amazing. Yeah, parking can be challenging enough at Scholdeis Park sometimes.
Yeah, like I wasn't able to get parked until like 10 minutes before that first game this past weekend.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it was a zoo.
So
yeah, I think that's it, really.
Yeah, that is it. We can wrap this up and call it a day. Thanks, guys. And if you're out and about this weekend, and you're not already planning to be at Scholdeis Park, you should stop by and watch some football, because it's always exciting action, and we've got some really great games lined up. And please bring some non-perishable food donations with you to support the Veterans Food Bank here in Calgary. Thanks very much. If you ever hear some wrong information, you know you scored that touchdown, email us at cbfapr@gmail.com, and I will fix that score with the league. The CBFA podcast is brought to you by longtime Players of the Game sponsor, Wolf Cadillac Calgary. Check out their selection of new and used vehicles online at www.wolfcadillaccalgary.com or in person at 1720 Barlow Trail Southwest. And game day wouldn't be the same if not for Superfan Snacks. They're located near the plaza area of Scholdeis Park. Superfan Snacks proudly supports minor football at every level. Find them on Facebook. Thank you for listening.